Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. We are approaching our spring feast season. We'll be celebrating Passover in a few days, and we will also be celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we want to get into a teaching this week about Passover. So we're going to be in John chapter 1 and verse 29. And in this passage, we're going to be reading what John the Baptist had to say when he saw Yeshua coming. So on the verse here, on the next day, he saw Yeshua coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the very reason why Yeshua came. It was the reason why he was born of the Virgin Mary, so that he would serve as the Lamb of God. Everything that we read about in the Torah portions, in the Torah about the sacrifices, about the Passover, about the lambs being sacrificed, and the bloodshed that was made for the covering of sins was pointing to the fact that one day Yeshua would come as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. That's why he came, was to take away our sin. He was the Passover Lamb. So let's look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 21, and let's read here. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, bring out and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slaughter the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and touch some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside of the doorway of his house until morning. And Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And he will see the blood on a lintel and on the two doorposts. And Yahweh will pass over the doorway and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. The Passover lamb, the original Passover lamb, that Israel sacrificed on the night of the first Passover was God's plan for Israel to escape out of the bondage of slavery to Egypt. So Yeshua comes along as our Passover lamb to bring us out of bondage, out of slavery. But our slavery isn't unto Egypt, a physical slavery that Israel had unto Egypt. But we had, those who are believers now, we had a slavery unto sin. It was a spiritual slavery. So Egypt represents sin unto us. So to the person who is living in sin and who is serving sin, which, what is sin? Sin is when we miss the mark. It's when we disobey God's commands and his word. His word, the Torah in which he gave us, is the target in which he gave us to aim for. That degree of holiness that we are to aim for. And when we disobey his commands, we miss the target and therefore we sin. Okay? So to the one who is living in disobedience, who does not have that belief in Yeshua, who has not been washed by his blood, who has not applied the blood of Yeshua to their hearts, Israel was instructed to apply the blood on the doorposts of their home. So to the person who believes in Yeshua, what you do is you spiritually place his blood upon your heart, upon you. So now, when the destroyer comes, he will pass over you. But to the one who hasn't done that, they're living a life of sin, enslaved unto sin. And the only answer to get out of slavery unto sin is to have the blood of Yeshua, the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, applied unto their hearts. That is the way we get out of slavery unto sin. Also, his blood being applied unto our hearts means that we are forgiven of our sins. We no longer face the eternal judgment, or you could say eternal death, that will come unto the one who does not believe. So when the ultimate judgment comes at the end, to those who have the blood of Yeshua applied unto their hearts, the angel of death will just pass over. To that person, they will find mercy. They will find grace. They will find everlasting life or eternal life to those who've had the blood of Yeshua upon their hearts. So as you're approaching Passover, we go to celebrate Passover, that's what we're remembering. We're remembering the aspects of Yeshua's death, what it meant for him to die upon that cross for us, what it means that his blood was shed upon that cross for us. That yes, we are forgiven, but also we have been set free from slavery unto sin. So no longer are we bound or obligated to serve sin. No longer are we found in a position where we cannot resist our flesh, where we're serving our flesh. But now we are free to walk in righteousness. We're free to walk in obedience to his word. If we try to obtain righteousness, if we try to walk in set apartness and holiness on our own strength without belief in Yeshua, we will not make it. We will miss the mark. But to the one who has been redeemed, that is what that Passover lamb did. When that blood was applied to the hearts, the God of Israel, Yahweh, redeemed Israel from Egypt. They were under the ownership of Egypt, working as slaves unto Egypt, and he brought them out of ownership under Egypt to be owned by him, to be free to worship him. He has redeemed us. And so to those who believe in Yeshua, we no longer serve sin, but now we are free to walk in righteousness to Yahweh, to walk in obedience unto him. Let's look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. And one of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Yeshua, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he, being Yeshua, said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." So as Yeshua is hanging upon the cross, he is in the middle of two thieves. One of the thieves chooses to mock Yeshua. He chooses not to believe that Yeshua is the Lamb of God. And because he chooses that, he's going to receive eternal judgment. But the other thief, upon hearing the thief mocking Yeshua, his response is what? "We are suffering justly. We deserve what we are getting. But this man here has done nothing wrong. Remember, the Passover lamb was to be one without blemish. They would bring the lamb into the home on the 10th day, and they would expect the lamb to make sure that it had no blemish. Yeshua was thoroughly tried by the religious leaders of his time, and they could find nothing wrong with him. Yeshua was without sin. He was without spot. Okay, so this thief recognizes that and says, this man has done nothing wrong. He does not deserve what he is getting. So he recognizes Yeshua as the Lamb of God. And he says, remember me when you come in your kingdom. This thief believed that Yeshua was the Lamb of God, and he put his belief in that. And because of that, Yeshua responds to him and says, today you shall be with me in paradise. It's interesting that when we see this conversion of this thief, he does not follow a religious order. And what I mean by that is we don't see Yeshua lead him in a prayer. But by what the thief said, Yeshua could tell that he had belief in him. It just takes belief. It's not about us doing something a certain religious way. It's the fact that he could look at this thief and he could see in his heart that he believed in him. Now, he confessed him before everybody that was looking. And everybody could see that that man believed that Yeshua was the Lamb of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By this will we have all been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. So by his death upon that cross, to those who have believed, we have been sanctified. Meaning we have been cleansed from all that which was uncleanness. That which did not allow us to approach a holy God has been cleansed from us. I mean, if we look at the temple layout and the instructions that were given teach us that Yahweh is holy. And that which was unclean was not allowed to come into the most holy place. The uncleanness had to be dealt with first. We see the shedding of the blood at the altar outside in the outer court. They had to deal with the uncleanness. And then the priest would wash himself in water. So that which was unclean had to be dealt with. So to us who believe that Yeshua is the Lamb of God and that when he died upon that cross, he dealt with our sin, also dealing with our uncleanness, we have been made clean. So we are able to boldly come before him. Now, that doesn't mean that we are now perfected, though. We are spiritually protected. He sees us on the inside as being perfected, yes, and we are cleansed and sanctified, but we're also going through the process of being sanctified, where our actions and what we do begins to line up with what our hearts believe. So let's look at verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. So we're going through the process of where our outsides, where what we're doing, our actions are becoming clean, or becoming righteous, or becoming set apart, where it's beginning to line up with our hearts' belief. Upon believing in Yeshua, we believe that he is the Lamb of God who's taken away our sin. But even in that, our faith grows. Our faith grows in how much of his word we believe. And we hold on to and we embrace. And as we grow in our faith in that, then the fruit of our lives, as in that which we do, will grow in holiness as well. But see, we are being sanctified and we have been perfected by one offering. Yeshua died upon that cross one time. He doesn't need to die again. That one offering was enough to remove all the sin from the world and to cleanse us from all of our uncleanness. So this Passover season, we're not in need of another sacrifice. We celebrate Passover to remember the fact that he, by that one offering, has perfected us and made us clean. Now let's look at verse 16. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws upon their heart and on their mind. I will write them, he then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is a forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Again, there is no more need for an offering of sin. And we are in covenant with him. To those who believe in Yeshua as the Lamb of God, they are in covenant with Yahweh. And what is his covenant? His covenant is he will no longer remember our sins and our lawless deeds. Okay? But what is our end of the covenant? He says, I'm going to write my laws upon their hearts and upon their minds. Why is he writing his laws upon our hearts and our minds? Because he expects us and wants us to walk in his laws. That is how we are being sanctified. His law sets us apart from the world. His law teaches us how to love God and how to love people. We don't define loving God and loving people on our own terms. His law has defined and set the goal and the mark on how we are to love people and how we are to love God. So after Passover, we're moving into the season of unleavened bread, where we're going to remove the leaven from our homes for 7 days. And the purpose of removing leaven from our homes for 7 days isn't for religious practice, just not to eat leaven for 7 days. But it is to teach us a spiritual concept that we need to remove the leaven from our hearts, or we need to remove the sin from our hearts. So the areas of our lives where we're walking, where we're not keeping full covenant with him, where we're not walking in all of his laws, where we have not yet perfected loving God and loving people. So we take this season to work and examine and see where is the leaven that is in our hearts. Or you can say, where is the compromise that is in my heart that I need to get rid of in order to be fully perfected before him in what I do? Remember, we are perfected in the spiritual sense where we are forgiven and we are cleansed, and there is nothing more we can do to change that. But when it comes to the outward fruit that we are showing to the world around us, we need more perfection. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. And this is Paul speaking of the season of Passover or unleavened bread. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Do you know any body who boast in their sin. It's really not that uncommon to find people who are believers who boast in their sin. But what does Paul say? Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Or let's say this, a little compromise will leaven the whole lump. See, if you put just a little leaven in your flour, that leaven is going to quickly spread and take over the whole lump. And what he is teaching us here is sin operates the same way. When we allow just a little compromise to go unchecked, it will spread and take over the whole heart. So we have to be careful of the compromises that we hold on to that we think are no big deal. Because later on down the road, we can find ourselves in a spot where our whole lump has been leavened. And our love for him can become cold. We can lose the love of our first love because we allowed a little compromise in, because it was fun, it was pleasurable, and we did not see the harm in allowing that little compromise to exist. So during this season of unleavened bread, we're searching and looking for the compromises that we know are there, that we're allowing to be there, and let's remove those compromises, that leaven, this year during the season of unleavened bread. Now let's go to verse 7. Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, was also sacrificed. So therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So what does he want us to celebrate? How does he want us to celebrate unleavened bread? Is it all about just getting rid of the leaven from our homes? No, it's about getting rid of malice and wickedness. What is wickedness? Wickedness is the one who is walking contrary to God's word, to his law, to his righteousness. It's the heart that is rejecting his leadership, that is rejecting his standard. And it says, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I think is right. I want to do what pleases me. I want to know what I want to do, what feels good to me. That's wickedness. We are called to get rid of that attitude. Get rid of that and celebrate unleavened bread with sincerity and truth, with a sincere heart that desires to walk in covenant with Yahweh, with a sincere heart that earnestly desires to please the living God of Israel, who desires to walk in his righteousness, that seeks what is pleasing unto Yahweh and not pleasing unto themselves. And truth. What is truth? His word is truth. His Torah is truth. So how do we walk in truth? We walk in truth when we walk in obedience to his word. That is walking in truth. If we're seeking what is right in our own eyes, then we're not going to be following truth. Truth is defined and set forth by God's Torah, his law, his word, all of his word. So this Passover season, let us celebrate the fact that we have been redeemed. We are no longer slaves unto sin. No longer does sin rule over us. No longer does the desires of our flesh rule over us. No longer does the desire to conform unto this world rule over us. But we have been set free from our flesh. We have been set free from conformity to this world to walk in a newness of life. We have been set free to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, to walk just as he walked. And how did he walk? He was the sinless Lamb of God. He perfectly obeyed God's Torah. That's the mark that we have been called to walk, to hit. And let us celebrate and let us look at the fact that we have been called to remove the compromise and the sin out of our lives. We have been called to a standard of holiness. What did he say? I am perfect, therefore you be perfect, or you be perfect as I am perfect. That's his goal for us. That is what he has told us to do. So yes, we are in a body that is corrupt, but our goal and our and the desire of our hearts should earnestly be to be perfect as Yeshua was perfect. Don't allow the fact that we live in this corrupted body make excuses for us to continue to walk in sin and compromise. So let this season remind us that we are free to walk and to strive for perfection, and let us do it. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.